So we're going to move into our sermon series. We're in Jesus Revealed Part 10. If you've been with us at any point in time during the course of this year, we're in this series where we are really asking the question, who do you say Jesus is? Not who does Phil Smith say Jesus is. Who do you say Jesus is? And it's out of Matthew 16 where Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And we felt like the Lord said to take this and go deeper with it this year. And really examine this question of who is Jesus. And we are doing it primarily for two reasons. One, we believe that if we can host more of who Jesus really is, we're going to experience a greater measure of abundant life in our personal lives. And secondly, that we believe that those in our spheres of influence are longing for us to reveal the authentic Jesus. They are. We're the ones. And so you can only give away what you have. They're not looking for just an idea. They're looking for something that you've experienced, the truth of who Jesus really is, getting released through you. And then you can share it with integrity. And that's what we're after. We're pressing for this. And so the lens that we're looking through is through the Gospel of John and the letters of John. So we're putting on John's glasses, and we've been in this since the beginning of the year. We're up to John chapter 6, verse 21. That's where we ended last week. And in those five and a half chapters, we've identified 65 revelation statements so far about who Jesus is. And so it's amazing. And those are just sitting out there. You can hold them. You can pick them up. You can look at them. You can say, do I really believe this? Nobody's going to pressure you to believe it. It's between you and the Lord. What do you really believe? Is this really true? Today, we're going to look at a passage at the end of John chapter 6, which is one of the hardest messages Jesus ever gave in his entire life. You're going to jump in the deep end. This isn't for the shallow. This is the deep end of what Jesus is presenting. And the reason you'll see as we go through the passage is most of the people who were following left him that day. It was too much. It was overwhelming what he was talking about, what he was describing. And so we're going to look at that today. And then we're going to compare that with his 12 disciples and what was their response. So we'll get there. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 6, verse 22. And it says this. On the next day, the crowd that remained. So I'll backtrack. If you remember last week, if you weren't here, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish, right? And then he goes up on the mountain because he didn't want them to crown him king. And his disciples go back to Capernaum, and Jesus meets them on the water. And this is where we are the next day. So on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Right? So the crowd realizes, hey, he's not here. Where is he? They realize, oh, he's probably back at Capernaum. So they head back to Capernaum because they're following him. Why are they following him? He just did this amazing miracle, right? Where they were fed. Verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. So the crowd seeking Jesus because they ate their fill of loaves, right? And really, it's a felt need. We talked about this already in John. They experienced God meeting them in a real felt need, physical hunger. They saw the multiplication of food. Am I in the way? They saw multiplication of food. And Jesus, he shines his light on that. He says, you're not here because you want something, a greater sign per se. You're here because you had a nice lunch last night or had a nice dinner, right? That's what's really going on. And I think Jesus still does that with us too. He shines his light on our hearts, and he exposes what's really there. Why are you really seeking me right now? And he'll show you what's really going on inside of you. It's his goodness. It's on for you. Verse 27 says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So Jesus, again, he's saying, don't work for food that perishes. Don't work for physical food. Don't just pursue that. Don't just go after that. Pursue food that endures to eternal life, spiritual food. Again, he's meeting them on a different plane. They're coming in one plane looking for a physical need to be met. And Jesus is way up here. He's saying, I have something for you better than what you could ever think or imagine. This food can only be given by the Son of Man. And then the crowd says, well, what must we do to be doing these works of God? And Jesus tells him very simply, it's very straightforward. He says, believe in him whom he has sent. Who's the one he sent? Jesus, right? Believe in him. Verse 30, it says, so they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? Isn't that funny? He just multiplied the loaves and the fishes the night before. And they're like, what sign are you going to do to show that this is true? They said, what work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, well, sir, give us this bread always. Right? We want that bread, right? What you're talking about. And so they're asking for a sign. They refer to Moses, right? And manna, which is interesting, right? Because they asked for bread in the wilderness. God poured out this manna daily. And what was their response after a while? We're sick and tired of this bread. It sustained them, but they got tired of it. They grumbled again. The next time something happened that didn't go their way, they grumbled again, right? It was this consistent thing. Jesus says, Father God gives true bread from heaven. Again, he's talking on a spiritual plane. He says, the bread of God ultimately is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they say, we want that bread. Do you think they understand what he's talking about? I don't think so. I don't think they fully realize what Jesus is expressing. Verse 35, it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. So Jesus ultimately is saying, I'm the one. I'm the bread of life sent by the Father. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Again, if you're hearing this like the crowd was listening, and they just had their bodies filled with food, what are they thinking? Right? We don't know for sure, but ultimately, it seems like they're going to be thinking, okay, he's going to provide food for us all the time. That's what he's talking about. And Jesus ultimately is saying, you've seen me, but you don't believe. For those of you who have accepted Jesus into your lives, was there ever a time when you were sort of considering Jesus, where you're like, I see some stuff about Jesus, but I don't really know if I really believe. And then something happened where it sort of clicked for you, right? You were checking him out. You could see him. You saw aspects of him, but you didn't really believe yet. It says, you've seen me, yet you don't believe. Ultimately, Jesus is saying, I'm the sign. You don't need another sign. You don't need me to do any other miracle. Miracle's not going to make you believe any more or any less. I'm the sign. Jesus says, I'm the sign. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So ultimately, the Father and the Son are working in partnership. The Father draws men to Jesus. No one comes to believe unless the Father draws him. Believe that? And I think it's interesting to note that we can resist the Father. The Father doesn't force someone to believe. It's not like this program, push the button, okay, now this one's in, they're going to believe. The Father draws us. I believe the Father is drawing many all over this county, but not everybody's receiving it. Because you don't have to. He'll never force you. It's always a choice. We'll get that to the end of the passage. You'll see why it's still a choice. And then he says, Jesus receives them, which is good news. He receives all those that the Father draws. And he is the one who raises them up on the last day. This is the Father's will. That they would be drawn, they would be received, and they'd be raised up on the last day. And then the Jews say, well, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense, right? Because we know who you are. You're the son of Joseph and Mary. And we know them, and we know you. We know where you were born. We know where you live, right? We know everything about you. You didn't come down from heaven. The reality is they didn't know the truth about Jesus' story. They didn't know. They knew what they saw. They knew what was reported, right? I think the key to recognizing Jesus is revelation from the Father, to have eyes to see. We see that with Peter in Matthew 16, right, where we started today. When Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? Peter says, you're the Christ. And then Jesus says one of the most curious statements. He says, you didn't get that by yourself. That's not your own good idea. That's straight revelation from the Father to you. The only way anything is revealed to us is because the Father is revealing it to us. So all of your aha moments about who God really is, who Jesus really is, what is the Holy Spirit, it comes from fresh revelation from the Father. That's really good news. The other good news is that the Father wants to give us fresh revelation. He's not trying to hide stuff from us. He's not trying to be difficult. He is actively pursuing and drawing and wooing people into the kingdom. Verse 45, it says, it's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Try that on for size. Try to step back out of anything you already know about Christianity. Anything you know about communion. And then say, I'm standing here as a member of the crowd and I'm listening to this guy who just did all these amazing miracles. And he just makes this bold claim. He says, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What do you think about that? The passage says, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Jesus. When there's revelation that comes from the Father, you grab it, you hold it, you receive it, you come to Jesus. And he receives you. Jesus is the one who has seen the Father. Right? We've been talking about this throughout this whole series. He's the one who reveals who the Father is, reveals the Father's heart, reveals the Father's will. Why can he do that? Because he's been with the Father. He's seen the Father. He knows the Father. And Jesus is the bread of life. And he says, the bread that I give you is not manna. Everybody who ate manna died. It satisfied them for a period of time, and then they died. The bread that I'm giving you, you'll never die. And then he says, this bread that I give you is my flesh. Verse 52, it says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread of the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. What is Jesus saying? Whoever feeds on my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, right, which basically makes their home in me, and I in him. Again, if you're listening to it on a physical plane, you're like, this guy's out there. He's talking about cannibalism, right? What does that have to do with our God that we've worshiped all these years? But Jesus is talking on a spiritual plane. And he says, whoever eats this bread is going to live forever. Verse 59, it says, Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Look at that. Hold that. Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted him by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So they're listening to Jesus declaring that you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, this saying is too hard for us. We don't know where he's gone. We like the loaves and the fishes. We like the healing of leprosy. We like the other miracles that he did. Even though we don't really understand about why he's doing stuff on the Sabbath, now he's crossed a ledge. He's gone too far. Who can listen to it? And we listen to this passage, we read it through a lens that we have because we've been walking in the Christian faith in this day and age. And so we know the communion story. We know what Jesus did in terms of laying down his life and the blood that was shed for us. We know how we remember that as we take communion. We do it here at Grace once a month, right? And we remember because we were told to remember. But imagine if you were in the crowd that day and you're listening to his words. You've been following him. And he's saying something new. What would you be saying or thinking? And then he asked that question, do you take offense at this? I love that question. It's really pivotal for you and me today. That question will change your life. Do you take offense at this? He says, the Spirit gives life. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You're seeking understanding with your mind. You're listening to what I'm saying. You're trying to process it with what you've seen and what you know, what you've experienced before. And you're going to miss it because I'm not talking to you on that level. I'm speaking to you on a spiritual plane. Spirit. You have to receive this message with your spirit. Some of you don't believe. And many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. We don't have the number. What would it be like to be Jesus that day? Have you ever thought about it? Again, we've said it before. Jesus only spoke what he heard the Father saying. So where did he come up with this message? About you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Do you think that as he was sitting on the mountain, right? This is the next day after he spent the whole night on the mountain. We don't know what happened on the mountain. Right? The loaves and fishes, he goes up on the mountain. He spends the whole night. His disciples are rowing in the boat, trying to get across. They're struggling. Next thing you know, Jesus is walking on water and he hops in the boat with them and they get to the other side. What happened on the mountain? We have no idea. But somewhere he got the revelation that he was supposed to declare this message because he only shared what he heard the Father saying. So this wasn't Jesus's great idea. This was the revelation that he was getting from the Father of what he was supposed to share. Do you think it was hard for him? I don't know. Do you think he was processing with God? Now, if I say that, don't you think a lot of people are going to leave? I don't know. We do know he wasn't seeking popularity. We saw that already in John. He wasn't trying to be significant in the eyes of man. But one thing that I know, at least in my life, rejection is never easy. Have you ever thought about what it was like for Jesus to be rejected by so many? It's interesting. And then we have one of the greatest, I'll say, key verse in the Bible. It's becoming one of my favorite verses. It's verse 67, and it says, so Jesus said to the 12, he just had many disciples leave. He turns to the 12, the ones that are the closest. They've walked with him the whole time. And he says this, he says, do you want to go away as well? Ultimately, he's saying, how about you? Do you want to go away too? You're free to go. You're free to go. The crowds were expecting the Savior to come and be this domineering ruler that was going to kick the Romans out and take over. And Jesus came and said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's not what they were expecting. So they walked away. I think one of the things that I realize is whenever we're faced with something about God that we don't understand, the crowds that were there today hearing this message, including his 12 disciples, I don't think his 12 disciples understood what he was talking about either. You could fight me on it. But when we don't understand something or when we're disappointed with God for some reason, whether it's circumstantial or something else that's going on in our lives, there's really only two responses. You're either going to take offense and you're going to pull away from God. You might still go to church. You might still do small groups. You might still do all the Christianese, but part of your heart is already shut and you're moving away. The people who left him that day, they basically said, we're out. We're gone. This is too hard. We don't know if any of those people came back. Maybe they did. We have no idea. Right? But we know from the passage, they're free to go. because of what he says to the 12. The other response that you can have when you don't understand what God's doing is you can press in. You can pursue him even more. You can stay close to him. And this is what we see with his disciples, the closest ones, is they asked him questions. What are you talking about? What does this mean? In this passage, verse 68, we see Simon Peter, and he answers Jesus' question, do you want to go away as well? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. And he spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Ultimately, Peter answers using the word Lord. What does Lord mean? It's a term of reverence. It's a term of honor, and it's a term of submission. And Peter's saying, Lord, I don't know if I understand everything that you're talking about, but this thing I know is that you're the Lord. And I'm submitted to you. And he says, to whom shall we go? There's no one else like you. We already have the revelation that you have the words of eternal life. I believe it. Like Peter's saying, I believe it. That's why we're asking this, doing this series. What do you believe? Do you believe Jesus has the words of eternal life? If you don't, that's okay. It's between you and him. Nobody can make that decision for you. But Peter made that decision. Peter says, we have believed. We have come to know you. He walked with him. All these other people walked with him. But did they know him? It doesn't seem like it, because they were still looking for a sign for him to reveal who he really was. The closest ones weren't looking for a sign anymore. They already believed. Peter says, you are the Holy One of God. Yeah. So if you're facing a situation in your life today where you don't understand what God is doing or why he would allow this to be happening in your life, why the people in your life are acting the way they are or doing what they're doing, right? Why your circumstances, financial, relational, whatever, is going on the way it is. And you're like, you're angry because I feel out of control. And your response is to blame God because you know he could do something about it. And you don't understand. You have two choices. You can take offense and pull away from God. Or you can say, I don't understand it, but I still believe that you're the one. And I'm going to press in close to you. No matter where it takes me, no matter what it looks like, I'm never going to let go. Because you're the Holy One of God. And I want you. More than I want understanding. More than I want my whole life to make sense. I want you. So who's Jesus revealed in John chapter 6, verse 22 to 71? I pulled out six revelations. One, he declares, I'm the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. He's a life source. There's no other like him. He's the only one who can lead you to eternal life. The only one. Second one, Jesus receives us and he raises us up on the last day. He receives you. He receives you. The Father draws you and Jesus receives you. He says, I'll take you. And then he'll raise you up on the last day. You're going to have a glorified body, right? As soon as you say yes to him, you have eternal life. But you're still living right here in this plane, right, that we're living in. There's going to come a day where you're going to have a glorified body, right, where he raises you up on that last day. The third one, Jesus is the one who has seen the Father. Again, we don't want to belabor it. We've said it in multiple messages. But if you want to know the Father, look at Jesus. He's the one who's seen him. And Jesus is the one who reveals the Father's will. So if you're not sure what the Father's will is, look to Jesus. Jesus is the one who abides in those who believe, which I love because it ultimately says he chooses to dwell inside of you and inside of me. For those who believe. I think about that. Jesus is dwelling inside of you. If you have a relationship with Jesus today, he has chosen to dwell inside of you. He's made his home inside of you. Have you ever stopped and just reflected on that? What does that really mean? It's his choice. No one's forcing him. He's choosing. Right? And the last one for today, Jesus is the one who doesn't force his disciples to remain with him. He'll never make you. You're free to choose at any time in your life. You may have been walking with Jesus for 30 years and something happens and you're like, it's too much. I'm out. And he's like, okay. Because he won't force you. It's not the kind of God he is. He will let you walk away if you want to. He's always there. His arms are always open, right? He's always ready to bring you back. But he'll never force you. He's just that good. And I think it's interesting that it's not just for those on the periphery. It's for those who are the closest in. And so as you sit here today, you know where your walk is with God, right? Nobody knows really but you, where you're at with him. And it's always a choice. Do you want to go deeper with him or do you want to pull away? And where are you at today? But he'll never force you. So who do you say Jesus is? Right? Who do you? You just heard this crazy message that he gave. And maybe you've looked at that before, or maybe like most believers, you just gloss over that part of the scriptures, right? Like, yeah, that's weird, whatever we put over there. Or that's just communion. Right? We just put in a little box. I would encourage you to go back through this passage today, this week, and actually read it. And allow God to shine his light on it and say, this is what this really means. Ask him your questions. Ask him, what was it like to have all those people leave? Ask him, what was it like to ask the question to those who were closest in, do you want to go too? Like, we put Jesus in a box. We think, oh, he's God. He doesn't feel anything. I don't agree. I think he feels everything. Every pain you've ever experienced, everything you've ever suffered, he's experienced. And that's why we can come to him and find comfort in him. Right? Do you just know about these truths that we revealed today about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus as these truths? Are there aspects regarding these truths about Jesus that you want to press in to know more? And do you feel like you can look at these revelations in John 6, 22 to 71 and share them with integrity to those in your sphere of influence? Where you're like, that's the God I know. That's the God I love. That's the God I serve. Let me introduce him to you. If you don't, why not? Is there possibly something that's blocking you from knowing the fullness of the Jesus that's revealed in the scriptures? And will you allow him to look at that or to touch that, shine his light on that? Again, it's not a condemning statement. It's an invitation. Do you want more? Right? You want to go deeper with him in encountering a greater measure of the fullness of Jesus. And that's what he's serving. It's on the platter. It's for everybody to take, right? There's more than enough. There's not a limit, right? There's not a shortage. There's more than enough for every single person who's hearing the sound of my voice, whether you're here in person or you're listening on the podcast, right? And the question is, do you want it? Do you want what he's serving? All right? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. That when the Father told you to share this message to the crowds that day, you said yes. And you did it with boldness and with confidence, and you revealed the truth of the kingdom, that the Father draws us and you receive those who he draws. And you raise us up on the last day, and that you are the bread of life that we can eat and host, and that we will never we'll never hunger, we'll never thirst as we host your presence. And so we thank you. I pray that you would awaken our spirits in a fresh way, and that as even your words say that this message is spirit and truth, I just pray, Jesus, that our spirits would receive it, and that you would help us to renew our minds with the truth of what you're revealing in this passage of scripture about who you are and what does that mean for our lives. And we thank you that that you've seen the Father, you know the Father, you reveal the Father, and that the Father wants to be known, or he wouldn't have sent you. And that's really good news for us, because the kingdom is all about relationship. And that's why you can let people leave. Because no healthy relationship is controlling. And so you'll never control us. Even the ones who are the closest to you, they're always free to go if they choose to. And Lord, I pray that we would do sort of a pause, right? An assessment with you to say, where am I at? Am I more like those in the crowd who walked away today? Is there parts of my heart that are closed, that I've already closed to you because of past hurt and experiences that I didn't understand? Have I taken offense, knowingly or unknowingly, right? Or am I like the 12 that are pressing in saying, God, where else will we go? There's no other. I may not understand all that's going on, all that you're saying, all that you're describing, but I know you, and you have the words of eternal life. And I want you. I choose you. I'm going to press in deeper to you. And so, Lord, I pray for grace on the people who hear the sound of my voice in this message today, that there would be a sense of being honest before God. Where are you really at? And then would you give grace for those who want to press in more? There'd be a greater grace to lay down the offenses, to lay down the misunderstandings, to lay down the confusion, to lay down the hurt at your feet and say, God, I'm going to dare to trust again. I want you more than I want understanding. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.